The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, March 29th, and thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. And also special thanks to one of our regulars who is a big help to me, who is in the chat room with us. Thank you for joining us, Joan. Tonight's show, as all shows, contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., half hour from now, we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 14. After tonight, there will be two episodes left in Season 10. Season 10 did the traditional 50-50 split with 8 episodes that ran until November 24th. Then episodes 9 through 16 will run up through April 12th, ending Season 10. However, we do have an update. Due to staff production concerns around the recent COVID-19 crisis, the Season 10 finale will not be ready to air April 12th as planned. This was announced on Talking Dead last week. And so next week, the penultimate episode, Joan loves that word. I hate it. I know she really hates it. We can make fun of it. That will be the last episode of Walking Dead until some nebulous time later this year that we don't yet know. Nor will Walking Dead World Beyond debut on April 12th either. More information on that as we receive it ourselves. Basically, the rest of the season has been shot, but because of everything going on, they don't have production people to finish it up, put the Foley noises in, edit any boo-boos and, you know, color corrections, all that stuff they need to do, and so forth. So they can't air it yet, so they're going to do it later. They'll let us know, and I'll let you know when I know. Okay. So I'm going to skip all of the calendar guessing, because everything is in crisis, because we're having a real-life apocalypse, kind of, well, not exactly, but still pretty bad. Okay, so if you want to call in to talk with the host at 914-338-0314, feel free. I encourage you anytime between now and 9 p.m. if you can. You're welcome to call during the live show. You'll just be screened and muted until the commercial breaks where we can talk freely on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in the live chat room, where you'll be able to listen to the show real-time as well as download the episode after the fact. We post the links for that on our Facebook page, usually on my Twitter. I don't think I got to that tonight, but you can definitely find them on Facebook and my personal Facebook. If you're unable to join us in real-time this evening, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and any prior episodes on iTunes. Okay, tonight's episode is Look at the Flowers. Got to have my little favorite wave. I've had this and I have one use out of it. Now all of a sudden I've gotten a lot of use out of it.
Flowers.
Yes. And Joan says this will be the penultimate to the penultimate episode since the finale is held up. Yes, we'll have double penultimate. Oh, my God. It's the ultimate penultimate. Okay. The official AMC synopsis for tonight's episode is heroes and villains reckon with the aftermath of the Hilltop Fire. Meanwhile, Eugene takes a group on a journey to meet Stephanie with the hope of befriending another civilization. And as we traditionally do, I have a couple extra extended synopses for you guys. The first one is, actually both of these are by sources we don't normally use. I think both of these are new to us. One is goldderby.com. That is our first one. And that, it looks quite similar to Bleeding Cool in format. So I don't know if they're related. I didn't really find any connection. It could just be a formatting thing. I don't know. But at any rate, this is written by Sam Ekman, E-C-K-M-A-N-N. And it says, Walking Dead Episode 14 preview trailer, Carol's secret plan could result in death in Look at the Flowers. And they have a copy of one of the teaser trailers. And he says, It's done, declares Negan in a preview trailer of the Sunday's new episode of The Walking Dead. Negan has cut the literal head off of the Whisperers, but trouble may be just beginning for the survivors of the hilltop battle. Watch the video, blah, blah, blah. Carol triumphantly places the severed head of Alpha on a pike at the Whisperer's border. The grieving mother once again proves she is not to be messed with and successfully kept her secret plot with Negan under wraps. It's apparent that she promised Negan something big in exchange for carrying out the plan. Quote, I held up my end, now hold up yours, he barks. Did Carol promise him freedom? Her fellow Alexandrians may not be too happy with her rogue decision. Though Carol's revenge is complete, Beta's vengeance is about to begin. A brief shot, and this is in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler, displays Beta holding Alpha's decapitated skull almost as if in prayer. Beta is arguably more insane and ruthless than Alpha ever was. Yeah, arguably, we'll see. He is a true believer in the Whisperer way of life and will be out for blood after Negan's betrayal. It's worth noting that the ominous episode title, Look at the Flowers, refers to Carol's traumatic execution of Lizzie back in the season 4 episode, The Grove. Does this mean Carol will have to kill again? She might have to put down Negan if Alexandria refuses to grant him freedom. Or the title may refer to the death of Carol herself, possibly at the hands of a vengeful Beta. It's difficult to contemplate either outcome, especially after a brutal battle. We don't even have spoilers for this because in the comic, as you guys know, which we don't discuss often, but I will point out, Beta's storyline is different, and I do believe at this point Carol no longer even exists in the storyline, so all paths are open. That's all I'm going to say about that. Elsewhere, a few characters look to be leaving Virginia for a while. This is a little tiny bit spoilery, so I'm going to skip this next part. It was in the previews, but not in detail. So I'm going to leave that part. Suffice to say, people are coming with Eugene. We do know he's going to go find Stephanie. That's been alluded to for quite some time. And some people are going with him. We'll figure out who. Not going to say. Let me pull up the other. Having a format problem. Sorry. Trying to highlight the link so that I can pull it up for you guys, and it's misbehaving. My mouse has a mind of its own at the moment and needs to stop doing that. Okay, copy pasta. Put the link in, and let's go see. Okay, let me check the chat room, see if Joan's got any commentary. Jonas said, Carol is long gone at this point in the comics. Yeah, okay, I was correct. Don't remember Beta's storyline exactly enough to comment about him, though. The major difference really is just who he was, because I have read an article to you guys from Ryan Hurst about his process of inventing Beta's storyline. He kept the fact that Beta is somebody famous in media. In the comics, he was somebody different in different parts of media. But in this one, we know he's a musician because they had spoilers in Fear the Walking Dead about that. And Ryan Hurst has also given some interviews to that effect. He's kind of basically done a, well, I can't exactly say, but sort of commentary. But tonight we are going to find out more about that. So my bigger point was just that Beta has deviated in his background from the comics. So there's quite a few things that he could deviate, you know, as far as, you know, what he does about it next, who does what to whom. You know, basically, there's a lot of paths that the show has followed for the comics, but it doesn't always. And so I never assume it does. And anyhow, yeah, in the comics, it is common knowledge that he was a sports figure and an actor. I imagine kind of sort of fashioned after like an O.J. Simpson type person, except not a gentleman of color, but, you know, the whole I'm a sports person and also an actor person or, you know, whatever. And he's a musician here. And that's something that Ryan came up with. So they ran with it. All right. Anyhow, let me go over to the second synopsis I have for you guys. It's 8:41. This is also from a source we don't typically use. It's called nerdsandbeyond.com. And this was written by Haley. That's the only credit they gave. I'm going to click through real quick and see. They just have, oh, Haley Ann Miller, apparently, because that's her Instagram and Twitter. Haley is going to get school to get her bachelor's degree in journalism. I bet you're not in school right now, Haley. Ha ha. You know, whatever. I'm having a little fun. Writer, fangirl, so on and so forth. So I think some of these articles are written by lay people rather than professional journalists. And that's fine. There's nothing the matter with that, just differentiating. So Nerds and Beyond, written by contributor Haley. And she writes an article called Carol Strikes a Deal with Negan in The Walking Dead, Season 10, Episode 14, Look at the Flowers. And she says, with Season 10 of the AMC show The Walking Dead being cut short due to the coronavirus outbreak, there may be many unanswered questions. Yeah, I do expect that. However, it looks as though there will at least be some answers to the events that unfolded in the March 15th episode last weekend. The flashback first starts out with Negan in his cell. Okay, that is a spoiler for tonight. It's in one of the previews, but I'm not going to get into it. We know that Carol approached Negan. It is a flashback to their conversation, but that is a spoiler for the opener because they usually have a clip of like the first 5 minutes on AMC.com. If you've seen it, great. You know what this is. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to read that to you, but you guys will see it in about 15 minutes anyway. That is the extent of all Haley had to say. So sorry about that. That was kind of a non-starter. My apologies. That's fine. We'll just keep going and see what other stuff we can talk about. Let me see if Joan has any commentary. Tiny bit. As she had said, we can hope. The deviations are usually much better, just my opinion. You know, I do agree with that by and large. And I kind of think some of it might be that deviations, people had time to read the comics and think it over and maybe play with some ideas that they couldn't, especially because other characters exist that didn't exist in the comics or don't exist that should still be here in the comics. For example, Andrea, who was still here, and so forth. And then Daryl, who didn't exist at all, and they made up because Norman did so well auditioning for his brother's role, and he didn't want to cut him loose. So anyhow, that is the end of that. So let's continue to the next part while we got a minute. It's 8:44. Writers and directors profiles. So tonight's episode was written by Channing Powell and directed by Daisy Mayer. Channing Powell. Elizabeth Channing Powell is from Easton, Maryland, and her husband is from McLean, Virginia. They are local to me. Powell graduated from Williams College with a bachelor's degree in film production. She has been married to Jonathan Edwards Soverow since October 9, 2010. Her wedding to Dr. Jonathan Edwards Soverow was officiated by retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. For some reason, her IMDb bio goes on at great length about who her parents are, but I don't actually know who they are. I probably should Google them at some point. They seem to be important. She got her start in the industry as an assistant on the television series White Collar. While she was there, she made her way up the ranks until she was staffed as a writer and eventually gained credits as an executive story editor. She's a producer and writer known for The Walking Dead, White Collar, and Good News Oklahoma. Powell has been a co-producer, producer, co-executive producer, or consulting producer for 96 episodes so far of The Walking Dead, starting with Season 4, Episode 1, 30 Days Without an Accident in 2013, up to last week's episode, up to Season 9, Episode 16, The Storm. Yeah, it was not last week. I should remove that. So sorry. Okay. She was not apparently a producer in any function for Season 10 that I could find an IMDb credit for. She has written 17 prior Walking Dead episodes, starting with Season 4, Episode 5, Interment, in 2013, up to Season 9, Episode 15, The Calm Before. Tonight is her 18th episode that she wrote for the series. Check. Oh, Joan has some more commentary. Speaking of AMC.com, scrolling down their homepage to their new show, Line of Duty, Lenny James is front and center. Now, Joan is worried all over again about Morgan's fate, but maybe Lenny is still able to do both shows. Joan and I read meaning into the fact that we did not properly see Morgan die, but then again, we haven't seen Madison die in fear, and they've kind of treated that whole thing badly. There have been several characters that I don't consider should be properly dead, have not really been exited in a clean way from both shows. And I tend to put meaning in that. I mean, look how many times Glenn almost died before he really died. You know, it's become a trope, actually, especially in this genre, especially in this show. Anyway, I'm going to go back to director's profile. Daisy von Scherler, S-C-H-E-R-L-E-R, Mayer. Apologies, Daisy, if I butcher your name. Was born September 66 in New York City. She's married to David Carbonara, soundtrack composer for Men Men. They have two children. Her mother, Sasha von Scherler, started in soaps and was in the movie Network in 76. Her father, Paul Avila Mayer, wrote for numerous soaps. She is a director and writer known for Madeline, Party Girl, and Halt and Catch Fire, as well as work on Mad Men, Get Shorty, Bosch, and many other shows. She also recently directed an episode of Lauren Cohen's Whiskey Cavalier. Tonight is her fourth time directing anything in the Walking Dead franchise. The previous episodes she's done were Walking Dead Classic Season 9, Episode 2, The Bridge, Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 6, Just in Case, and Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 13, Leave What You Don't. And then tonight's episode will be her fourth. It is 8:48. Check in for Jones. Comments, nothing new, so we will continue. Let's go to trivia. Tonight's episode is the 145th episode of Walking Dead ever. Co-stars tonight are Alex Livinalli as Shotgun Whisperer, also known Whisperer 15. This is his first appearance tonight as this character. He kills four campers, two horses, and some members of the coalition. And I will not mention under what circumstances. They can be seen in one of the trailers. Uncredited people for tonight. Micah King as Ezra, Jerry and Nabil as oldest. Autumn Azul as Aaliyah, Jerry and Nabil as middle. And we now have names. Maya and Delaney Timber, twins, as Miriam, Jerry and Nabil as infant. Also, four coalition soldiers, Jimmy McCarthy, Chuck Hollywood, Laura Kelly, and Tia Davis. Tonight is the first appearance of the character Rufus. This is a new Whisperer played by Mark Sivertsen, S-I-V-E-R-T-S-E-N. This is the first appearance of the character Juanita Sanchez, a.k.a. Princess, a new survivor who is listed as booked for the rest of Season 10, so she'll be in the next few episodes at least. She is played by actress Paola Lazzaro. This is the last appearance of Alpha, zombified in a hallucination. The title of the episode, Look at the Flowers, is a callback to Carol's last words to Lizzie Samuels before shooting her in the episode The Grove. As this is the 14th episode of Season 10, this is kind of weird. It says Carol also states this is the 14th episode of Season 4, but that's meta. I think what they meant to say is Melissa McBride said that, maybe. But at any rate, both episodes associated with that phrase were the 14th of their own respective seasons. This episode marks Christian Siratos' 75th appearance on the series. Following her character's departure in the previous episode last week, Danai Gurira, Michonne, has been removed from the opening credits. I'm going to double check for commentary. Nothing new, so we will continue to trivia concerning last week's episode. Reminder for Joan, new Walker term, Rippers, comes from Season 10, Episode 13, What We Become. It was said by Virgil. All right, there is a long list of characters mentioned. So, first and last appearances of location, Bloodsworth Island, the character Lucy, Celeste, Jeremiah, Aiden, Bailey, and Lisa. Okay, there's some commentary about these characters later, so I'm not going to read any more. I'll go down to the notes. This is the last appearance, and sometimes what they do, they say last appearance, and if the character appears again, such as in a photo or memory or anything like that, or flashback, they'll say it again. So it's the last appearance to date when they always say these things. So this is the last appearance of the following. Michonne, Fate Unknown. Virgil, Fate Unknown. Rick Grimes, Hallucination, Flashback. Carl Grimes, Hallucination, Flashback. Andrea, Hallucination. Sadiq, Glenn Ree, Heath, Abraham Ford, Sasha Williams, Dwight, Simon, Laura, DJ, Kino, Aaron, Mike, Terry, and the location, West Georgia Correctional Facility. This episode marks Ross Markan's 50th appearance on the TV series. Avi Nash is re-added under also starring in this episode due to Michonne's hallucination sequence. This episode has callbacks to Days Gone By, Beside the Dying Fire, Hounded, Clear, Not Tomorrow Yet, Last Day on Earth, The Day Will Come and You Won't Be, Mercy, and Wrath. During the hallucination sequence, when the camera points on Rick when he shot Michonne, is the exact same way he shot Sophia in Pretty Much Dead Already. It's hinted through Judith that Alpha's death is now public knowledge. It's hinted that DJ may have been present during the events of Last Day on Earth and The Day Will Come and You Won't Be. This may not be the case, however, as Michonne's memories are very warped during her hallucinogenic experiences, several characters are present where they weren't originally. For example, Laura dying at the satellite outpost. It's most likely that Michonne was simply imagining these events with saviors she was most familiar with, such as DJ and Laura, who joined Alexandria after the sanctuary fell. The scripture, it's not scripture, the writing on the iPhone engraving is Japanese and translates to believe a little bit longer. Michonne's and Judith's code names, Daito and Shoto, mean long sword and short sword respectively in Japanese. Judith states that most of Alpha's horde was destroyed in the battle for the hilltop. Michonne uses her old walker trick to blend in as she did before meeting the governor and then after the prison fell. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Talking Dead for this episode was done through video conferencing. By the way, I kind of expect them to do that again tonight. They haven't said, but I'm assuming that they will. Uncredited people, and this will talk about some of the people above. Lori Holden as Andrea, Stephen Yeun as Glenn Ree, Corey Hawkins as Heath, Andrew Lincoln as Rick Grimes, Chandler Riggs as Carl Grimes, Lauren Cohen as Maggie Ree, Michael Cudlitz as Abraham Ford, Sonequa Martin Green as Sasha Williams, Austin Emilio as Dwight, Stephen Ogg as Simon, Nathan Hicks as Kino, who was a savior. I didn't know that character very well. Erin Lee Bushko as Erin. She's a walker found on the road to King County, Season 3, Episode 12, Clear, by Rick Carlin Michonne. Denisha Gillespie as Lisa, Virgil's wife who hung herself and their two kids after Virgil accidentally locked them inside their research facility during a riot. Moses J. Mosley as Mike, Andre's father and Michonne's partner, and Deshae Williams as Terry, Mike's bestie. Those were the two original walkers that Michonne had on chains following her around. Deaths from last week. Lisa, alive, confirmed fate, zombified. Jasmine and Bobby, those were their two kids, her and Virgil. And 27 unnamed Bloodsworth Island survivors and two unknown animals. No goofs, errors, and bloopers. All right, it's 8:56. Joan has said, yeah, she got the new terms from the last two episodes. Just when she thought there wouldn't be any new ones, at least one of them came from Negan, so she shouldn't have known better. Which new one came from Negan? I kind of missed that. And she does also hope, like I do, that they do Talking Dead from home like they did last week. That actually seemed to work out real well. So I hope they continue that so we can have it in as close to a timely manner as possible, because it works better when it's in conjunction with the show. All right, we have time for cast birthdays this week. Let's see if we can squeeze this in. Birthdays! Today, Scott Gimple, showrunner, birthday is March 29th. He's from Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. Also today, Scott Wilson, Herschel, rest in peace. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. Jose Pablo Cantillo, who was Cesar Martinez, Woodbury character, March 30th, and he's from Marshfield, Wisconsin. April birthdays, since next week will be April 5th episode. Alexa Helen Nicholas, who played Haley, a Woodbury guard, April 4th, and she's from Chicago. And R. Keith Harris, who was Dr. Harlan Carson, the hilltop doc that the Saviors stole, and his birthday is also April 4th. I don't have a city for him. So let's wish all of them a big happy birthday, and thank you. Oh, Joan has mentioned that Negan's new vocabulary for the walkers is meat lovers. You know, that's just destroyed my pizza habit now, because I usually get a meat lover's pizza, and now I just can't, because thanks a lot. Okay, featured music, by the way, none. It's 8:58, so I'm going to go down as far as I can. Unaccounted for characters, not going to get into again. Talking Dead this week is going to feature Ryan Hurst, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Ron Funches, who is a comedian from Undateable. We still do not know the fate of the episode 2 weeks ago that was supposed to have Tom Payne and two special guests. We are about to go to the next, well, in a minute. Let's do the back half of season 10, because there's not much to it. Next week, episode 15, The Tower, April 5th, and then episode 16, A Certain Doom, is scheduled for April 12th, and it's not going to air because production could not get to it before the quarantine. So we don't know. I'll let you guys know. And I'm going to go dark now, so we will see you guys at the first commercial break. Carol certainly has some lady nuts on her, to steal a line from Negan last week. I'm going to start with 5-5. Let's see what Joan thinks. So she's going to open with 5-5 too. We tend to be quite similar in our takes on the show, but that's fine. When we're not, it's cool too. So other commentary, I can thank Negan for destroying my pizza love. And God forbid you should just call them walkers like everybody else. And Joan is like, the beer in the Rocky Road sounds good, but he can have the T-bone. And she's laughing at Skin Queen. I'm not a beer fan, so I'll take that T-bone. You can have the beer. We're both at 5-5. And we may need to go back and figure out if Carol put Alpha's head on the pike that used to hold Henry's. There's an order to it, and somebody had said it spelled out a word. I've forgotten all about that. I'd have to go back and check. But I will be curious to see what happens with that, if it does turn out to be true. That would be a nice little Easter egg. Pardon my hiccups. Easter egg in amusement. Okay. I am going back to my notes. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media is about the only thing I have not hit, other than just reading some articles to you. Shows coming up tomorrow night, Monday night in America, the Census 2020, and Community and COVID-19, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Noriega returns to discuss the ongoing census for the United States, shelter in place, and lots of stuff that are happening around, in the world around us. Wednesday, April Fool's Day, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, episode 86, Flirting with Disaster, Coping Strategies During Emergencies and Disasters. And Thursday the 2nd, Travel Itch Radio, 8 p.m., Come North with Travel Itch Radio, where we spotlight the pristine Pybus Point Lounge on Alaska's Admiralty Island. Join Daryl Bosshart as he tells Dan Schlossberg and co-host Keita Roberts about his plush, all-inclusive resort where fishing, boating, and nature photography are king, but gourmet food, Wi-Fi, and 21st century comfort are not forgotten. All right, so that is that. And I have removed a couple of articles that really are just, they're so old now that I really can't justify reading them to you anymore. Like, there's no point. So you know what? I'm just going to clear all of those out. There's a couple. One of them is regarding Maggie's return, and the reason I want to probably hang on to that and read it to you is because I think it was going to be in the finale, and now we're going to have to wait a hell of a long time, so I kind of want to go over that and just see what we're allowed to know. And so forth. I kind of feel bad for Lauren because there's been such a setup for Maggie's return, and now it may get aborted for a minute because of everything going on. So let's see. Are we back yet? We are back. So I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, huge jump in the second part. It's 9:19 and we are at break number two. And I'm actually going to go to 625 on mine. Let's see what Joan has to say. Joan is doing the same, and that's fine with me. She commented that Beta's gone off the deep end, even more so, that is. And I commented that I kind of felt like he was as bad when she found him. But I don't know. It's kind of weird because he seems to be more deliberate, whereas she seems to be just floating in chaos and never really in the real world at all. I don't know. That's a hard way to describe it. And Jonah said, nothing like getting back to your roots. Yes, well. And, oh, good, now Carol is losing it. I think Carol is not necessarily losing it any more than she has been. I mean, I think she's been kind of since she's been popping speed pills to stay awake and other stuff. But I don't know if I'd go any further than that. Anyhow. Jonah said, my husband passed this link on to a friend of his, so we see someone joining in. Oh, okay, well, we may have a new friend, so that will be great. Joan, let me know if I don't catch her. I will try to watch out. All right, so I did grab an article to read to you guys. I cleaned out all but two. One was somewhat recent. This one was old, but I want to get into it, as I explained. This is from metro.co.uk. Written by Adam Miller back in January, and it was The Walking Dead Season 10, Lauren Cohen's return date as Maggie leaked, and we are ready for it. Kinda. It wasn't really leaked, but, you know, sensationalist headline, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so he says, The Walking Dead appears to have leaked when Lauren Cohen will finally be returning as Maggie Rhee after the star left the AMC series in Season 9 to pursue other projects as her future on the show seemed uncertain. The 38-year-old's exit was famously lackluster, yes. Maggie just disappeared during another time jump, And that was that. As her swan song was overshadowed by the dramatic send-off deserved, and that's my words, to leading protagonist Rick Grimes, Andy Lincoln. Lauren went on to star in the critically acclaimed Whiskey Cavalier, ABC's new comedy, which got axed after just one season. Well, it was critically acclaimed. I don't know why they axed it, but whatever. Anyway, this may have come as a huge blow to the actress, but here we are with Maggie's return in sight, and it's soon. The Walking Dead showrunner Angela Kang recently revealed Maggie's storyline will start to unravel in season 10. And I want to point out here, this is not in the article, but there was a setup for that. I believe last week or so, somebody had said something about Carol messaging Maggie to let her know about something going on. And so I think that's kind of the setup why Maggie's going to come in at the point that she does. Quote, however, according to The Walking Dead's IMDb page, Lauren's first episode back will come in episode 16 of season 10, a.k.a. the finale, which is likely to air in April. We are ready. The news comes after one of Lauren's co-stars blamed her decision to take a break from the zombie apocalypse on his premature exit. Okay, we'll see about that. That was Xander Berkeley, who played Hilltop's menacing leader Gregory, told Comic Insider, I just think that they truncated it into that first episode of the ninth season with too many of the things going on. They didn't quite savor the moment the way it could have been. And I didn't quite buy Gregory pulling a knife on Maggie. I kind of like the idea in the comic book of him doing other things that I'm not going to read. He added, for whatever reason, they had to hurry. I think because Lorna was going to be leaving the show, they had to hurry and get rid of me so they could establish her as the one running Hilltop. But they just had to move the whole plot forward and faster. And we know that Xander Berkeley is actually very bitter about the whole thing anyway. So I'm not sure that's an invalid criticism. A lot of season 9 was clunky, and I don't know that that was Angela Kang's fault. It was kind of put in motion already. So she kind of had to deal with that. Anyway, so that is the end of that article. And so I'm going to go ahead and pull that one out of the kitty. And it's 9:24 and we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 3. Okay, guys, it is break number 3, 9:29, and I am going up to a 7, as is Joan. That's amusing. Okay, Joan has also commented in the last scene, it looked to her for a minute like the restaurant where Enid was hiding while Glenn was under the dumpster, close to Alexandria. It was a long time ago in the show years, so maybe not. And smashing guitars, yes, he was a musician, referring to Beta. I'm kind of a little fuzzy what room set up if we're supposed to recognize that as somebody's base of operations at some point. And she says, Samantha Morton is killing it in these scenes. Yeah, we are definitely the same wavelength tonight, matching scores again. Yelp. And you know what? Let's give Sam some love for all of her work. Especially now that technically her character got killed, so we know that it's going to be winding down at this point. But yeah, she's definitely given quite a bit of life to that character. I haven't always really been fond of Alpha as a character, but I definitely have been fond of Samantha's work as an actress, regardless. I can respect that. And I'm always fascinated. I don't know anything about Alpha's origins in the comic, but her accent seems so peculiar, and it almost seems more excessively Southern. But they found her in the D.C. area, I believe. So I don't know if it's – I know Samantha Morton is not American, so I don't know if this is a struggle with an American accent. I'm not really sure what the deal is. because Alpha has a distinct way of speaking. It's exaggerated Southern in a way that kind of chaps my ass a little bit. I don't know if that's part of the reason I don't like the character. We'll see. Anyhow, let me see. I have the other article up, and I can kind of start on that until we go back. And this one is from comicbook.com. It was just a few days ago. This was March 22nd. And it's the Walking Dead creator, Robert Kirkman, finally explains how the zombie apocalypse began. It's written by Cameron Bolamona, who is one of comicbook.com's regulars, who writes about this show for them. And let's go ahead and start talking about it. I'm just double-checking to make sure we still had a commercial. Okay, so Cameron says, while The Walking Dead has gone on for over a decade now, showing many adventures of Rick Grimes and fellow survivors as they navigate the zombie apocalypse, the TV show and the comic book have yet to explain just how and why the outbreak occurred. This, by the way, has been one of my beefs since the beginning. It's one of the things I don't like in the genre when they don't even attempt to explain it. The first season of the show teased that the CDC didn't know how the virus spread or why the dead were coming back to life, though the actual reason has never been revealed until now. The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman has finally come clean about the reason for the virus's spreading, though it might be something that fans didn't expect. Yeah, this isn't what I expected. Space Spore, Kirkman wrote on Twitter when asked to name what created walkers. Kirkman's response is likely another homage to George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, where scientists speculated the rise of flesh-eating ghouls is caused by radiation from a space probe to Venus. See, that kind of makes me think he was making a joke, because he's always been withholding about what was the cause of it, which I think was a poor choice, but, you know, he's doing better at the genre than I am, so whatever. You know, you can say I'm jealous. I guess envious would be appropriate. So before their book became The Walking Dead, Kirkman and original series artist Tony Moore pitched a 1960s set continuation of Night of the Living Dead. Another tie to the extraterrestrial, when pitching The Walking Dead to Image Comics executives, Kirkman had to lie by claiming the apocalypse was caused by space aliens using zombies to weaken the world's infrastructure before invading. By the way, the tweet from Kirkman was on January 22nd. We may be going back, and we are going back. I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, 9:40, and I think we're break number 4 or 5, can't remember. Jonas is 7.5. You know, I am inclined to agree with that. She has commented, well, that's different, referring to the walkers being out in a cage like that. And I found it interesting, the walker on the far side had a bird that it couldn't quite reach, and I wasn't clear if the bird could get out or not, or if it was just tempting it. There was something about that whole arrangement I didn't understand. And then Joan says, half moon is now half baked. Yeah, definitely. And I found Alpha swearing at Carol. The words she was using were kind of weird. She called her stupid clam, but then it was like slit and coos, and I'm like, who uses those words? That was super weird. That's not an Atlanta thing or a Virginia thing, at least not up in Northern Virginia where they are and where she supposedly was from. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. And I asked if those words were things that Ed would have said. Maybe that was it. And Joan says, maybe, sounds like him. So anyway, we're both at 7.5. It is 9:42. I'm going to pop back over to the article I was reading you guys from comicbook.com. And continuing on, Kirkman toyed with aliens again in a non-canon bonus ending for The Walking Dead number 75. I'm going to go ahead and read this just because Kirkman mentions it. Inspired by his fabricated origin story, according to a laser sword wielding Michonne, an unknown alien civilization caused the dead to come back to life and attack humans, with the survivors being turned into a slave race to harvest water the aliens used as currency. Kind of weird. Quote, maybe years after it's all over, I'll just casually mention it in an interview. This seems like a very J.K. Rowling thing to do, Kirkman said, when asked about the origin of the zombie virus during a 2018 Q&A on Tumblr. Quote, it couldn't be less important to the story and the lives of these characters. I realize it's his story, but I kind of disagree if anybody cares. It would be completely out of place in the story. Honestly, if a scientist from Washington came to the character and told them what happened, the characters would just shrug and say, oh, okay, it wouldn't change their lives at all, and I've said too much. I'm going to call bullshit. I think you missed a giant opportunity not making Eugene's story real. After all, and maybe accidentally real in that sort of idiot savant way that he has of stumbling into just a really cool thing. I really would have liked to have seen him get to D.C. and find somebody who really did know what's going on. And he's got an opportunity to do that when he goes and meets this new person, because if they're flirting around the border to West Virginia, you're kind of getting towards Greenbrier, which is known to have been a now defunct bunker where Govies would go hang out. So we could just say maybe they made another one along that same area because it's ideal for it. But anyway, that's my opinion. I'm not Robert Kirkman, so people probably could care less what I think. Anyway, Kirkman also says the TV series was unlikely to ever explore a cure for the virus, which has plagued humanity for a decade, as of The Walking Dead Season 10. And I'm sorry to hear that, but continuing the quote, as far as actually trying to solve the thing, I've always thought that one of the best things about this show is that it's not about scientists and it's not about people that would take that on as a task, because I feel like that's unrelatable. Says the guy who made that the season finale of Season 1, whatever, Kirkman said at San Diego Comic-Con 2017. Quote, I think that if there were a zombie apocalypse, I don't know that there's maybe five people in this room that would have that job. To go off and try to solve this would be a boring show, so definitely not. Well, have you seen Day of the Dead? Good Lord. Give some credit to your predecessor. All right, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Now, that's a very good point, Joan. I may not have had my microphone on. Can you hear me now? Let's see. So I may have to repeat everything I just said. Oh, Lord, how embarrassing. I've been talking for 2 minutes, and I might not have been on the air. So, all right. Let me see if Joan can hear me now. I don't think it was you, sweetie. I think it was me. Chris Hardwick is mentioning that he's going to be doing Talking Dead, same as before. Okay, yes, here I am, because I was an idiot. I was going over all of our notes, our nice notes. Walking Dead Rewards is Battlefield. Joan thinks the bird in the cage is bait, like I was mentioning, trying to catch some walkers. Beta ripped off half of his own face mask. She loves Negan. She knows he's done a lot of horrible stuff. I like Negan sometimes. Tonight's one of them, but not always. We're both kind of wondering what happened to Ezekiel's horse. Ezekiel should have listened to Yumiko. Joan's at 775. I'm at 75. We have Look at the Flowers. I'm going to go play with my wave again because I am a creature of very simple amusements, and I just love
look
it.
Look at the flowers.
Yes, yes. Look at the flowers. Okay, so let me see. I think I have finished that. Yeah, I did finish that article for you guys. And the TWD Rewards passcode is Battlefield. Joan grabbed that for us, if you didn't catch that. I have read you guys all of the articles that I have, and it's 9:58. I don't know if this episode is going to go over much or not. I think probably not that much. But we do kind of need to talk about next week just to understand that next week is going to be our last episode of this show for a little while, just because of the virus thing. We are back. I'm going to let you guys go hear the ending here. Okay, guys, it's 10:06. I'm going to let you go so we can watch Talking Dead. Going to go over notes real quick. Joan and I are both ending on 7.75. Notes from last chat. Okay. I was asking, where in the Kentucky Fried Fuck is that city? Because it is nothing that is en route to where they said they were going. And I say this as a person who has lived in that general area almost all of my life. I kind of cheated a little. I was asking Joan because I know this new character that showed up was credited, and this is Princess, who is a new character that is being introduced tonight. I don't know anything about her, but, well, other than her name is also Juanita Sanchez. She's a new survivor and booked for the rest of season 10. I assume she's also a comic character. I did ask what city she's in the comics because I'm a little vexed that that skyline is nothing that is on the way to where Eugene said he was going. Joan says she was thinking the same thing too. The walkers that they're running into when they get into the city says, yeah, I feel like it looks like a walker amusement park because of how they're all set up. It seems like little booths of animated walkers that you just go by. They're in costume doing funny things. And Ezekiel laughing at some of that was really super awkward. Joan says everybody's losing their shit tonight. Oh, their mind, whatever. There's a note that Beta was holding. It says, two eyes, one truth, that he got from the place he broke into. I have no idea what it means. And apparently picked up on something that I missed. There's something bothering me about Beta, and she figured it out. Beta apparently tore Alpha's face to put over where he tore his other mask up. So he's got Alpha's face on him plus his friend's face. And Joan said, bring me Maggie and I'll go to an 8. Sweetie, Maggie is coming in the season finale, which we don't get to have yet. Oh, okay. Princess is in Pittsburgh in the comics. That is 4 hours northwest of where they were. And if he's going to West Virginia, there's no reason for him to go that way. Okay. Dear people writing the TV show, do you fucking understand the geography in this area? These things are not near each other. They're not on the way. Stop it. You're being dumb. Maybe she's not in Pittsburgh, and I don't know the Pittsburgh skyline, so that would be fair. I'll have to go investigate more about this. Maybe we'll find out some more next week. Anyway, just wanted to wrap that up so I could let you guys go watch Talking Dead. There may be another code for TWD rewards during that. I will talk to you guys next week. Joan, as always, I appreciate your help very much. And I'm just trying to line up my end music. There we go. Thank you. And I will talk to you guys next week, and that will be our last gathering. I have to figure out what we're going to do with the time slot in the meantime. Everything is all kind of in flux. Thank you guys for your support very much. I will see you next week. Take care. Stay safe.